Yeah, 435 in the Anchorage Bowl. This is the Aaron Selbig Show on Kudo 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage. It's Friday, and all of our loyal, brave, and true listeners know what that means. Yes, it's time for the Demo Memo. On today's exciting edition of the Demo Memo, we welcome back to the studio our good friend and brand new chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator Hollis French. Senator French, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Aaron. I appreciate that. Very kind of you to say so. Keep in mind that it's not official until we get to Juneau and the deal gets cemented, but everything looks good, and I'm very thrilled to be...
Do I detect a note of concern in
voice? You know, it's just my view is you've got to actually nail this deal down and do it, and then I'm the chairman, and then everything's fine.
Okay, well, let me figure out a way to ask this, because Senator Johnny Ellis, who I understand was instrumental in this new Senate majority deal where Senator Lyda Green, the billboard queen, is the Senate president. And there's been, you know, some bipartisan appointments, including yourself and judiciary, which I think is fabulous. To have you in that position is good
for
the state of Alaska.
Senator Davis, head of Hess.
Right.
Senator Ellis, head of Labor and Commerce.
Fantastic.
Senator Kukesh, head of Transportation. We really, you know, we've done well.
When I first heard of this deal and saw right off the bat that Lyda Green was going to be the Senate president, I shivered. The hair stood up on the back of my neck. I thought, oh, no. I believe there was a Compass piece in the Daily News the other day where a proud Democrat said that you guys had perverted your principles, I think, was the term.
There was a whiff of, you know, us selling out. And I think, you know, I think both sides sort of took a deep breath when we reached out to make this thing happen. You know, we're not natural political allies, but we decided, you know, they decided and we decided it was time to try something different. It was time to try bipartisanship. And, you know, as far as that criticism from the Valley and the, you know, perverting our principles, I guess my response is wait and see.
Right.
See what actually happens. See what votes are cast. See what things we do, and judge us by that. Because it's easy to stand up and say this and say that, but the real test is in the votes and what bills pass and what bills don't pass.
There's a lot of change going on in Juneau right now, not the least of which the incoming Palin administration. And as a progressive, I'm willing to give this deal the benefit of the doubt to see what happens, as you say.
And I think that's what you have to do. You've got to be fair and say, what is it you really want us to do? Do you want us to just stand up and bark when bad things happen, or do you want us to work from the inside to keep bad things from happening or to make good things happen? And I think we're in a far better position to stop bad things and do good things than we were last year as a 8-member minority.
Another part of this, though, however, and you kind of hinted at it in your opening when you said a hello here, is this going to last? And I know there's some folks including Republicans, and some of the Republicans in Juneau have already taken a stab. They've gone to Lyda Green and said, hey, you know, well, fine, good. You really want to be the Senate president that bad? We'll let you back into the fold and you can have it. Apparently she turned him down. I don't know. This is all juicy rumor.
I wasn't in the room either.
I don't know. That's what we hear.
I wasn't in the room either. I think I saw that meeting happening, and I saw the folks going in and out of the room, but we're not in the room, and the reports are a little bit different. We saw Tom Wagner say she was offered to, offered everything to be Senate president, and other folks say I didn't hear that happen.
Yeah.
But I think the real test is what can we actually get done? And I think these folks are committed. I know we're committed. We shook hands, and that means, you know, we're going to go down there and give it our very best effort to produce legislation that's in the best interests of the majority of Alaskans and kind of let the either extreme go away.
Senator Hollis French, our guest today on the Demo Memo. Senator Ellis is out of town for the Christmas holidays. We have got a very good substitute for you here today. However, the phone lines are open, by the way, at 929-5160. Senator French, if you don't mind, we've got a caller on line
one. Let's talk to him.
Let's go to Bob. Hi, Bob. You're on the air with Senator Hollis French.
Good afternoon. I've got a message for Lyda Green from you. With apologies to Tom Hanks. There's no trying in bipartisanship.
Really? I don't know. I'm not sure if I follow you, Bob. What do you mean?
There's no crying in baseball, you know.
You're right.
Blah, blah. In other words, he said, we're going to try bipartisanship.
Oh, yes.
Well, there's no trying. You have to do bipartisanship. The former legislature, before the last election, was the Republicans And possibly the Democrats could have done the same thing, but the majority was just outlandish. It was an affront to the state of Alaska.
Absolutely. Well, what do you think, Bob, as a progressive, you know, what do you think of this new Senate majority? Do you think it'll last? Do you think
whether it'll last or not, at least it's nice that I believe that the Republicans are seeing the writing on the wall there, and they've got to try something if they want to keep their jobs. that's what I think.
Perhaps. All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you calling.
Senator French, is this, I guess the root of that, you know, if Lida Green really did say that they're going to try bipartisanship, you know, have you talked to some of these Republicans? There's five of them, right, that are in this majority group.
That's right.
Are they serious about this? Are they committed?
I've gone and met with John Cowdery, and you know, we've had discussions about this. And I think, you know, he's also one of the sort of the central deal makers in this process. He's the person who says, you know, when you shake hands, that's it. It's a contract. And he means it. And, you know, next week I'm planning to do a rollout of the Judiciary Committee you know, priorities for the session. And Senator Huggins, I expect, will be there, Senator Wilikowski. And, you know, we're going to sit there together and roll out what we expect the work we expect to get done in the Judiciary Committee.
Brand new father, Senator Wilikowski,
yes, he is.
By the way.
Born on his own birthday. His baby was. Yeah, it's a nice story.
Well, they'll save money on decorations.
There
and
you go. One cake, one set of candles. It's a great story.
Congratulations to Senator Wilikowski. We got to take a break here. Senator French, you heard him speak about the priorities of the new Judiciary Committee. I happen to have a sneak peek at those right here. We'll talk about a little bit of those. And we haven't even gotten to Mr. Anderson yet. I want to get Senator French's take on how that went down, plus your calls at 929-5160. This is the Demo Memo on the Aaron Selbig Show on Kudo 1080 AM. Please stand up. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 447 in the Anchorage Bowl. This is the Aaron Selbig Show today, bringing you the Demo Memo with our guest, Senator Hollis French. Phone lines are open for you if you've got a question or comment for the senator at 929-5160. Let's go to the phones now to line one and Will. Hi, Will. You're on the air with Senator French.
Hey, Aaron and Senator French, how are you folks tonight?
Hi, Will.
Good.
Good. Well, let's see. Before I begin, I want you to know that I like to give politicians a tough time, okay?
Come on. Let's do it.
But at the same time, okay, let me do my courteous thing, okay? It's a tough job, and sometimes it's a thankless job. And there's lots of challenges, and I understand that, okay? Now, having said that, you're in the Judicial Committee?
Yes, I'm slated to be the new chairman of the Judiciary Committee.
So you deal with a lot of legal aspects of things.
Exactly.
Okay, here's what I want to ask you. I'd like to ask you to help me, help us, draft a petition to move the legislative body to the Anchorage area, the Matanuska Valley area, and establish the funding to rent trailers for the offices until we can determine a physical location for it. Will
trailers?
You help draft that so we can begin to carry that? Will you draft that, I guess, is what I'm asking you.
I'm not a big capital move guy, so the short answer is no, Will. I don't want to you know, lead you down the rosy path and make you think I'm going to do something I'm not.
Right.
So, you know, the short answer is you'll have to find somebody else.
Well, if we asked you to do it for us, would you do that as our legislative representative?
It's possible for me to do it by, I could do a by request kind of a bill and submit it, but I wouldn't put any horsepower behind it. So it'd be me just sort of doing you a favor, doing some lip service to you, and then the bill would just die because no one would push it.
So you mean that our senators wouldn't help us draft the legislation to put on the ballot to see if we would want to move it? That's what you're saying?
No, the short answer is I wouldn't help you in affecting what you want to do. The best way for you to do what you want to do is to get one of those petitions and then get outside of Home Depot and Walmart and everywhere else.
Well, doesn't that cost us to have it be drafted correctly?
Well,
to hire an attorney?
It could be short and sweet.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Not necessarily. I mean, you could have if you made it real simple, I don't think it would cost you that much money to do that.
So you say it would have weight even in its simplistic of the request. It would still have its weight to move. We wouldn't get tied up in the legal aspects of it.
I'm not following you. What wouldn't?
Well, it's my understanding I'd have to hire an attorney to have it meet legislative standards and legalities to be a legal petition to move the legislature.
Mm.
But if we have you folks do as a representative for us, even though you're opposed, you would not deny us the right to have a draft of the pass.
Oh, I guess I see what you're saying. I mean, sure, I'd be willing to, I guess, to help you get the language squared away, and then I'd turn it over to you and let you do the legwork.
Yeah, and then let the people determine that. Now, thank you. I'm going to call you back on that sometime in the future.
Okay.
Now, my next question is this.
269-0234 is the work number.
All right.
Hold on.
All right, Will, you got one more question. Let's make it quick.
I do. 269-2034?
0234.
0234. Okay. My next one is this, on this what they call ethics thing. I don't think it should be ethics. It should be conduct, not ethics, okay? Mm-hmm. And what I'd like to have it drafted is this way. Any public servant who conducts himself in less than honorable conduct, he has honorable or less than honorable conduct, shall be subject to mandatory jail time and fines.
Mm.
And those people who will make the determination will be an equal peer or body. They will make a determination based upon the evidence whether it was an honorable or a less than honorable event. And then determining on whether the person was conned into it or clearly a self-serving individual, they could establish the level of fine and mandatory jail time, because I really think we need to stop. Everybody knows what honorable is or less than honorable, okay? There's just, you can't cut that up, okay?
So I don't know, Will. I think some people might. You and I and Senator French probably have a, we have a pretty good idea of what honor is, but that is a term, and you're an attorney.
I'm
Senator
an attorney,
French.
Right.
That's something you could cut up different ways.
Our jury has served us since the beginning of time, goes clear back to the Vestal Virgins, I think, some of that stuff. The point is the public is the final judge, and why not? I mean, surely, Senator, you don't have any problem with that, our whole system is based upon a jury, right? Well, you're saying those people don't have the capacity to see the difference between honorable
who would,
and less
who would honorable? Who would have the authority to bring those charges?
Well, Vestal Virgins, obviously.
No, I'm saying, no. If there's just like Tom Anderson, they would indict. Mm-hmm. We would then.
They a prosecutor, you mean a United States prosecutor, would go in front of a jury and say, okay, Senator French was seen at lunch with some union guys, and we think they picked up the tab. We think they bought him lunch. Mm-hmm. We don't think that's honorable. We think he needs to go to jail for that because we're anti-union lawyers.
Well, you could go, right? They would make the case for why they think it was a less than honorable or violation, yada, yada. But the jury has to make one of two decisions. Do you think this was an honorable conduct or a less than honorable conduct? If they come back with a less than honorable, they would then ask to be determined that the depth of dishonor or less than honorable.
I think you're either 1,000 years ahead of your time or 1,000 years behind. I'm not sure which. It's an interesting idea. But I
think you summed it up right there. Will, thanks, but we got to take a break here. Good job, though. That's a good topic, and there you go. Will finally got somebody to help him out at least a little bit on his capital move project. That's something that he is very serious about, Senator French.
And it shouldn't be hard to get something drafted up, and if he wants to go collect the signatures or whatever he wants to do.
I'm sure he could get some signatures. I'm sure he could get plenty of signatures. It's just a matter of going out there and beating feet and doing like Eric Croft, Harry Crawford, David Guttenberg,
trust the people.
You got to go to North Pole.
Finance reform.
Stand out in front of the Safeway all day long.
They've done a lot of It's not easy.
All right, but it can be done. 4:53 in the Anchorage Bowl. Senator Hollis French, our guest on the Aaron Selbig Show today. 929-5160, the number, if you'd like to jump in. We're going to take a short break here, but I promise we shall return. Uh-oh. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Senator Hollis French, our guest today on the Aaron Selbig Show. We've got a lot to talk about, including some new priorities for the Senate Judiciary Committee. We'll get to that in our second hour. But, Senator French, I've just got to ask you. We haven't had you on the show since the indictment and arrest of your cohort in the legislature, Representative Tom Anderson. What was
Mr. Anderson.
That was the voice of the FBI agents when they knocked on his door. Were you surprised by that?
You know, I guess I have to say I was, even though, we all sort of felt we knew it was coming. It's still when it became real, when I read that indictment, when I saw the allegations, when I read the transcripts, I just said, ugh, it was just sort of a pit in my stomach. And I know there's another side of the story. You know, we're going to find out in a trial what actually happened. But the indictment is certainly powerful. The evidence is certainly powerful. And it's just very disturbing. Even I guess I look at it more as a citizen than I do as a colleague. As a citizen, I look at it and go, that's just wrong. I mean, you just shouldn't be doing that.
Governor Palin called it a sad day for Alaska.
Yeah, and I think that kind of captures it. It really does. You just sort of want to believe that there's a certain calling that you have to go and do public service, and that if that's your calling, you want to put aside the idea that you're going to make a bunch of money doing that. If you want to make a bunch of money, go to Wall Street. Be a real estate agent. You know, there's thousands of ways to make a lot of money, but being in the legislature just seems like one of the worst ways to do it.
And Senator French, if we're to believe what the charges that he's been indicted on, we're not talking about a lot of money. $14,000, J.R.?
Right.
$12,000?
Yeah, 12, I think. It's between $12,000 and $13,000.
Yeah. Is that how cheap our legislators come, Senator French?
I like to think that the price is a lot higher. It really is. It's disturbing. Well, but although, you know, I guess to put it in another way, $12,000 represents about half my annual statutory salary. So, you know, you could say, you know, it's not very much money. On the other hand, it's 6 months of work.
Yeah.
So, there's at least an argument to be made that one of the ways you eliminate this is by jacking the pay up of legislators to the point where you can tell them you may not accept any outside work whatsoever. But that would do away with the idea of a citizen legislature, which we cling to very, very, tenaciously.
Air America News coming up at the top of the hour. More with our guest, Senator Hollis French, on the Demo Memo in hour two. Stay tuned. p.m. in the Anchorage Bowl. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage, and it's time for hour two of the Aaron Selbig Show. We continue along this segment with the Demo Memo, our weekly Friday feature. Our guest this week in the studio with us, Senator Hollis French, the brand new chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Phone lines are open for you folks if you'd like to jump into the conversation. 929-5160, the telephone number. Senator French, I was reading the news story the other day about Governor Palin's new pick for the very important attorney general spot, Mr. Tallis Kohlberg, a lawyer and former Mat-Su Borough Assemblyman from Palmer. My first reaction, I think the reaction of a lot of Alaskans when they saw that was, who? I hadn't heard of him, but you know, that didn't surprise me. I don't travel in attorney circles in this state. Not a big deal. But then I read in the news story that Senator Hollis French had also never heard of him, and I have to say that worried me a little bit.
Well, you know, he's a relative unknown. I think that's the general consensus, is that he has operated a fairly low profile solo practitioner's practice out in Palmer. He's like a family lawyer, and he just hasn't been a high profile person. So, you know, the obvious concern is that he doesn't have any serious prosecution background. Mm-hmm. What you might call civil litigation background, no complex civil litigation in oil and gas matters, in family law, in workers' comp. Stop right there. He has done some workers' comp law, but there are vast bodies of law that you need to be at least familiar with to be the attorney general. So there's sort of a question mark there, and I anticipate at the confirmation hearing, which will take place in front of a joint House and Senate Judiciary Committee, asking him lots of questions about, you know, sort of fundamental questions about these areas of law. I'm sure he'll be boned up on them by that time. And then the real question is he in a position to run the state's biggest law firm? The Attorney General's office has 200 lawyers in it, and it takes a fairly, you know, up-to-speed person to ride rein on all those wild state lawyers.
You know, when you talk about oil and gas issues, and of course this on the horizon is going to be probably a major part of his job as Attorney General, I'm imagining him sitting down at a table with the big three. You've got the guys from ConocoPhillips, Exxon, and British Petroleum sitting there, and they might be thinking, who's this guy, Mr. Small Town Jimmy Stewart, lawyer from Palmer? We're going to crush him like a bug. Is he, you know, is he going to be able to stand up to them? I mean, it's a question mark. You never know.
It's a total question mark, and I expect we'll get some sense of his mettle in the hearing process, because I expect to ask him some tough questions. I'm not going to blindside him. He'll know the questions in advance. I'm not trying to trick anybody, but he'll be asked some tough questions, and during that process, he'll get a chance to show the public, you know, a little bit more of what he's made of. And if he's like the rest of the Palin pick so far, he'll prove to be a pretty good pick, because I've, like a lot of Alaskans, have been impressed by her ability to sort of reach across party lines, to reach past sort of names and titles, and find effective individuals. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
What's your impression so far of Governor Palin's appointments to other important positions in her administration?
Boy, a lot of us are very happy. Marty Rutherford, you know, at DNR, she's top ranked. Walt Monaghan, head of the troopers, top rank. She seems to be doing a good job. It's hard to find any big fault. In fact, I think Tallis is probably the closest thing to a question mark that she has. Mr. Kohlberg is the closest thing to a question mark that she's made a pick on, and you know, and we just have to find out more about him to know what to think.
Of course, her reasoning for having picked him, and this, you know, this resonates with people, with everyday Alaskans, is that this guy's not an insider. Mm-hmm. He's not a major political player that, you know, he brings that to the table, that he's not one of them, I guess.
He's not tied to anything. Although, you know, I've thought about that some more, and there are plenty of retired judges. There are plenty of lawyers that are towards the, you know, toward the end of their career that could spend 4 to 8 years as an attorney general and abandon whatever ties they've had and render sterling service. So the idea that you have to have someone that doesn't have ties is probably a good idea, but that doesn't mean you disqualify everybody else. Just on that basis, there's lots of folks that would meet that standard.
Personally, and I did talk about this on the show and did suggest it to Governor Palin, I would have liked to have seen Eric Croft as Attorney General.
That would have gotten a huge cheer out of this station and myself as well. He's eminently qualified. He's sharp as a tack, and he's got Alaska right in his heart. And so that would have been no question
about his ability to stand up to the oil companies.
Yes.
They wouldn't even want to sit down to the table with him.
It would have been a great thing, but you know, Mr. Kohlberg, he'll get his chance to come in front of the committee. He'll get his chance to tell his side of the story. And, you know, the fact is that, you know, absent some glaring, you know, weakness, the governor gets the cabinet she chooses, and she rises or falls based on the strength of the pick she makes.
You know, speaking of the moves of Governor Palin in her first couple of weeks in office, she made a rather easy move, but did it in a bold way the other day when she announced that the state is putting the infamous Bald Ego, the gubernatorial West Wind II luxury jet, for sale on eBay.
You know, that had to capture the attention of the public and to kind of capture the imagination of everybody. It was an interesting move. I don't know about the, you know, the overall financial wisdom of that. I don't know whether you get top price for big assets like that on eBay. You know, maybe some sophisticated, you know, Seattle or Los Angeles jet dealer would tell you, no, there's a better way to go about it. On the other hand, it has a sort of certain poetic quality.
It's got populist appeal.
It sort of does. And you got to give her credit for that. It's like, look, we're going to deal with this. We're going to deal with it quickly. We're putting that stinker on eBay.
Maybe so, Bill Sheffield will buy it. I don't know. What, $2.5 million? Is that what they're asking for?
I didn't get the asking price.
We'll see how it goes. But, you know, there you go, folks. There's a jet for sale on eBay if you want to buy it. 929-5160, our telephone number, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to jump in with a question or comment for Senator Hollis French, let's go to line one now, where we're joined by Anton. Hi, Anton, you're on the air.
Hi, I missed the first 45 minutes of the show. I don't know if you guys already talked about this, but I was wondering what Hollis French's thought was on Murkowski's last use of the jet that you guys were just talking about. Have you guys already discussed that?
What do you mean his last use of the jet?
I read in the paper either today or yesterday that he used it one last time to fly to Texas.
He dropped Nancy off halfway and then flew it by himself all the way down to Texas, which meant the jet had to turn around and deadhead all the way back to Alaska. It looks to me like the new governor's office is going to find out whether that was personal or business, and if it's personal, ask to be reimbursed, and I fully support that. It was just one more finger in the eye of Alaskans, and you just almost have to wonder about the mentality of a person who wants to make his last gesture that gesture.
That's what it sounded to me, too. And it also said it was like $1,600 an hour it cost to fly that jet. And like you said, it just seemed like a huge slap in the face to all Alaskans.
Yeah, why not fly first? I mean, you could fly first class on a nice airline, get down there, you know. His political judgment is as bad as anybody's I've ever seen.
Well, his whole last week in office, he pulled a series of really almost juvenile moves, just throwing a wrench in the works.
Stiffen Governor Palin at the inauguration, going to a granddaughter's 21st birthday, you know, the jet flight. It was just one bad move after another.
Appointing Jim Clark.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
Right.
And when talking about political appointments and bad ones, didn't he appoint for secretary in the Department of Health and Social Services some 29-year-old Washington kid?
I didn't hear about that.
When Murkowski was first governor.
First commissioner. He didn't do that bad of a job. He was a young appointee.
But he wasn't qualified.
He got confirmed, and I'm not going to say he was unqualified.
All right. Thanks a lot, Anton. We got a break here. Appreciate your call. We're going to take a short break. Senator Hollis French, our guest today on the Aaron Selbig Show, 929-5160, the telephone number if you'd like to jump in.
You're listening to the Aaron Selbig Show on your progressive voice for Alaska, KUDO, 1080 AM, Anchorage.
Senator Hollis French in the studio with us today for this week's exciting edition of the Demo Memo. If you'd like to jump in with a question or comment, phone lines are open for you at 929-5160. Let's go to the phones now to line one and Jerry. Hi, Jerry. How you doing?
All right. I have one comment and then two questions, which I'll ask each separately.
We don't have a whole lot of time, Jerry, but that's fine. Let's just keep it rolling.
Walt Monaghan is a failed chief of police. You think about that for a while. What do you think has taken place in Anchorage when he was on shift? And then I'll switch to a question. When are you going to have hearings on a bill to ban the sale of alcohol to those who have DWIs or are drunk in public protection custodies?
We essentially do ban the sale of alcohol to those individuals through things called probation conditions.
Yeah. Now, what else? What other useless suggestion do you have?
Hey, thanks, Jerry.
Hold on a second, Jerry.
Fairness.
Jerry, you've got to give Senator French.
Let him answer the question.
Okay. Representative Harry Crawford has what I believe is the missing piece in this puzzle, which is a method of enforcing that probation condition.
That's right. All it takes is a little thing on a driver's license. Next question.
Go ahead.
When are you going to hold hearings on NSTAR's 30% gas rate increase for our little customers here in Alaska?
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
I think you'll see us addressing that. There's a lot of us who are concerned about that, and we're concerned that, what you're seeing are bad practices out in the gas fields being just passed directly on to the consumer without a lot of screw tightening and oversight. And so I think you will see some efforts made to push back on that and find out why it is that we're getting year-on-year increases that are putting consumers in a bad spot.
Now, Jerry, we love you. Jerry calls the show all the time, Senator French, but I have to say, Jerry, that was a little bit rude the way that you approach those questions with Senator French. And I want to give you a chance, Senator French, to broach the first comment that Jerry made and then just quickly passed over, that Walt Monaghan was a failure as the Anchorage police chief.
I think Walt was doing the best he had with the tools he had at his disposal. The fact is that we have had recruitment problems and retention problems at APD for a long time. We've not had as many APD officers in the field as we need, and the fact is that the city of Anchorage hasn't been willing to pony up to pay for that. If you're running it at, if you look at national standards and how many officers you should have for a city this size, we're below that. And so the one of the natural outcomes is you're going to have a lot of sort of vandalism, graffiti, property crimes that you just don't have the officers to get to. I was talking to one of my friends at the DA's office yesterday who said that there were something like 600 open cases in the property division of the DA's
wow.
office. And that's just a nightmare to be riding herd on so many open files, not to mention the cases that the APD is trying to get to. So it's a manpower issue, I believe. And Walt doesn't have the power to hire, beyond what he can get. And so I'm looking forward to him doing good things for the troopers.
525 in the Anchorage Bowl. Senator Hollis French is going to stick around with us for a little extra time today. Phone lines are open for you at 929-5160. I'm your host, Aaron Selbig, and I promise we shall return. It's Friday on the Aaron Selbig Show. That means the demo memo. Today, Senator Johnny Ellis is out of town for the holidays. We've got a more than capable sub. He meets every qualification, except I don't think he's grown a prize-winning cabbage. Senator Hollis French, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, our guest in the studio. Let's go back to the phones now to Line 2 and Dan. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Super. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was just hearing some comments from the last caller about, especially on the subject of trying to police some of the unlawful activities that happen around the Anchorage Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and I would like to address the issue of youth activities in connection with that. You know, the cycle of dependency begins with bored people, and when you start out with a school system that doesn't have the funding for after-school activities and a lack of action on the part of the municipality to fund activities. You know, if you had a city-sponsored football league or a boxing league or build the skate park and man it with municipal employees, then you're not going to be lamenting the lack of policing to go out and stop property crimes and so forth, because kids are going to have something to do.
Very good.
Expand our public transit, install bike lanes on all of our dangerous streets, and put some real onus on youth activities, put some money back into that, and put some manpower on it.
We've only got 1 minute, Dan. Let's give Senator French to a chance to respond.
I'm totally behind you on that, particularly when you mentioned the skateboard park. I've been trying to get money for that over the last few years, and recently the money that I've gotten has been pushed over to the Spinard Rec Center. They want to build a skateboard park over there, a smaller one than the one that's envisioned for downtown. But I was at a community council meeting just last week, and what I heard was 6 or 7 angry, not in my backyard neighbors almost putting an end to that project because they didn't want the noise. They claimed it brought, you know, skateboarders have a certain sort of bad image, and it's unfortunate because my son's a skateboarder and he's a squared away athlete, and most of them are, and we were pushing back on that, saying you've got to give kids something to do, and I totally agree with you, Dan.
Absolutely. Senator Hollis French is going to stick around with us on the other side. Short break here. We'll be right back with more. Five in the Anchorage Bowl. You're tuned in to KUDO 1080 AM, your progressive voice in Anchorage, and this is the Aaron Selbig Show, bringing you an extended edition of the Demo Memo today with our guest in the studio, Senator Hollis French. 929-5160, our telephone number, if you'd like to jump in with a question or a comment. Let's go now to Line 2 and Pat, who's been waiting patiently. Hi, Pat. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Thanks for taking this call.
You bet.
My issue is the state exit exam for high school students, and I will tell you briefly that I feel it has flaws on many levels, but it basically penalizes students for the system that doesn't work perfectly as it needs to. And my daughter recently wrote a paper for UAA, and Carol Como sent her some information, and her suggestion was to use the exit exam as an enhanced diploma, but not to deprive students of a high school diploma if they don't pass it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you that she passed it right off the bat, first time out. And I have a son with some learning disabilities who struggles, and he has reasons for that. He had chemotherapy as a baby, and there is some neurological damage there. Yet I don't want him to go through life without a diploma, and he has a tutor. He works with great teachers. But it seems to me this exit exam only says, hey, our wealthier, more affluent kids do just fine, and kids who either speak a second, you know, don't speak English as a first language or come from a lower income class or perhaps live in other areas of the state don't do as well. And I think there's so many things wrong with the way it is now. Is it possible with the new coalition and possibly a new attitude in Alaska to revisit this and look at possibly changing how we deal with this exam? Because I don't think it's making schools more accountable. I think it's just punishing students.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Excellent question.
Thank you. I'm nervous.
No, you did great.
You sure did. You made your case really well. And I, along with some other senators, have struggled for ways to make this more equitable, more fair, because I agree there are students who do the work, who show up diligently, who arrive on time, who are ready to learn, who put out full effort, but for one reason or another can't pass the test. It seems unfair to me and to others to deny them, the same sheet of paper that everybody else should get for putting in the work and putting in the years of labor in high school. The real shortcoming to me is the test is part of the problem, but it's more of a symptom than a cause. We fail to graduate 40% of the kids that enter high school. Alaska has one of the lowest high school graduation rates in the country, 60%. That means over a third, 40% of the kids that enter high school never graduate. And if you think about what the world requires now from a human being to be fully functioning and to earn a good living and to get ahead in the world, I mean, a high school diploma is like the very bottom rung. It's like the entry ticket. Without that, you are going to be struggling forever. And so I think the coalition needs to look at, how do we combat that? How do we engage kids? How do we get them to stay in the school? Seattle has been doing some interesting work in this area. Seattle has actually put the city of Seattle, King County, I went down to a conference on that, on juvenile justice, and they've been able to reduce their juvenile delinquency rates by really putting they put the weight and the onus on the school board. Before they expel a student, before they toss a kid out of school, they practically make them go to court to do so. And even though that seems like a bad idea, even though it seems like it may keep bad kids in school, the idea is not to sort of endanger any students, but to make it very difficult to expel a kid, because once you toss a kid out of school, what happens to them? And what they can show through their data is as the petitions go down, so does the juvenile crime rate. That by keeping kids in school, you can force down juvenile crime. It's kind of a long-winded answer, but I guess what I'm trying to say, Pat, is that I'm totally interested in working on this, and my goal is to get more kids graduated from high school and not to be denying them a graduation because of their own, just because they weren't able to pass a stupid test.
Well, the exam, let me just elaborate just a little bit. I know we're short on time, but the exam really doesn't address what a student knows or doesn't know. It addresses more what class the student is from, what family support the student has, and the luck of the draw when it comes to teaching, because you can have very good experiences all the way through school, and you can have two or three negative ones that will impact you forever. And because the system isn't perfect, and because we still have issues like possibly teacher negotiations that fail, and thus there might be a strike, or there's cuts in the budget, and thus we cut some perhaps remedial programs, the students are going to pay for that by not getting that diploma. So it seems to me that denying them this diploma rather than going to a portfolio method, or as Carol Como suggests, an enhanced diploma method, is just driving more students, increasing that non-graduation rate.
Thanks a lot, Pam.
I know. If there's anything else that parents or people can do, I'd like to know about it somehow. How do I get involved to get this ball moving? And then I'll quit talking.
Very good.
Well,
just from
a sheer political aspect, it's still going to be tough to move a bill like that through the Senate. The Senate, while we form this coalition, the Senate is going to still be in many significant ways 9 Democrats, 11 Republicans, and you're going to have a, you're going to have to convince a couple of Republicans that this graduation test, this exit exam, is not a good idea, and I think that's going to be uphill work. So the outlook is not bright this year, but there's a lot of us who are committed to improving the education system and keep bringing those ideas to us.
Thanks a lot, Pat. Excellent call, excellent point. Let's go to line 2 now, where we're joined by Anita. Hi, Anita. You're on the air with Senator Hollis French.
Hey, Hollis, when was it that we voted on the sales tax? It was recently, wasn't it?
When you say we voted on the sales tax, you mean in Anchorage or in Juneau?
The state, wasn't there, there was Anchorage.
We don't have a sales tax.
Yeah, we don't have a sales tax.
I know we don't, but wasn't there a vote on one?
No, about 4 years ago, or even longer, maybe 6 years ago, they pushed through the assembly an ordinance that requires now a 60% vote to impose a sales tax,
right.
and that was sort of the death knell of any sales tax move. There was a sales tax proposed by the Murkowski administration that failed miserably in the Senate, and that was in, I think, 2003.
Well, this is all in response to the two fellows who were complaining about the lack of police and the lack of anything for kids to do after school, and that all takes money, and people don't want to pay taxes. They don't want to pay sales tax. We've had a constant debate about income tax, and nobody wants to use the PFD, and I just wonder where these fellows stand on. Are they going to fork over some money to pay taxes to pay for some of these services which are needed?
It's certainly a real issue, and I just was reading a newspaper article today about the production rates on the North Slope, and they're slipping. It's dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
When you looked at the production numbers for November, they were under 700,000 barrels a day, which, you know, when you look back in the glory days of 91, 92, 2 million barrels of production, you can see that, you know, something's going to have to happen unless oil prices go up like they've gone up this last year.
I mean, everybody's hoping for a natural gas pipeline to make up for that, but at the present rates, even though oil prices are high and we're making up the difference, you know, with our new tax structure, the days of living high on the hog off of oil revenue are going to be coming to a close.
No, I think that's right.
And these money issues that Anita's bringing up are only going to be more intensified. Thanks, Anita, for the call.
Yep.
Appreciate it. All right, we got to take a break here, JR. Let's do that. Hollis, you want to stick around with us? We love having you.
I'm with you.
All right, let's just hang out here. We are having such a good time. 929-5160, the telephone number. If you've got a question or comment for Senator Hollis French, I'm your host, Aaron Selbig, and I promise we shall return. Uh-oh. 5:48 in the Anchorage Bowl on a Friday afternoon. We are joined in the studio today by Senator Hollis French. Phone lines are open for you at 929-5160. Let's go to the phones now. Who's first, JR? We got Phil on line 1. Let's go to Phil. Phil, you're on the air.
Thanks, Aaron. Senator French, thanks for your service. Last winter, a lot of us were hoping that you'd declare yourself as a candidate for Representative Young's seat, and you didn't, and then Diane Benson went in there. A couple things. First, how would you assess the way she ran her campaign? Any advice? And what do you think the Democratic Party should do now to secure that seat for the Democrats in Alaska in 2008? I'll take my answer off the air.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Senator French.
Thanks, Phil. I appreciate the endorsement. I thought Diane Benson ran a pretty good campaign for $100,000. She got nearly as many votes as our gubernatorial candidate, who spent something like $1.5 million. So she obviously made a big impression on voters, and the flip side of that, of course, is that Mr. Young was making a highly negative impression on voters, and so his weaknesses are starting to show themselves. On the other hand, he did not spend anything like the war chest that he had accumulated, so any challenger who looks at Congressman Young is going to have to run up $1 million in campaign contributions and be prepared for a war that goes from Ketchikan to Barrow. On the other hand, I think it's doable. I think people are ready for a change. I think this governor, this coalition, the national change is showing that that we are returning to the democratic roots that Alaska had at the very beginning. I love to point out to folks, in 1960, the first Alaska State Senate had 18 Democrats and 2 Republicans in it. And someday I think you're going to see that pendulum swing all the way back.
Well, it already is swinging. This last election, it swung, not maybe as dramatically as it did nationally, but still, it does seem headed back. Hollis, I know that you're probably going to not want to answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Next time around, when Representative Young's seat is up, can you imagine any prominent Democrats today that might have a good shot at that seat?
There's two or three of them out there, and obviously our mayor is a person that gets spoken of highly. Mark Begich has got incredible energy, incredible drive, incredible mastery of detail. You know, I sit and watch him and I'm very admirable of his abilities. And you know, his father's story, his father having occupied that seat, it's easy to see Mark Begich taking that seat someday and being a congressman for all Alaskans.
Kind of seems like his destiny, but that's just me. All right, let's go to line two now, and Chuck. Hi, Chuck. Thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi there. Again, thanks for your service, Senator French.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Going back to the education question, a simple idea that may make a difference is if each graduate of a school got a percentage ranking of where they placed in the class. You know, I'm number 7 out of 500, or I'm number 7 out of 7. It would give an employer a way of evaluating someone that they currently don't have. And I think that kind of information is provided to colleges. But I'm not absolutely certain of that. But it would also encourage people to stay in school and go to school and get their degree, because they would at least be able to get a degree, even if it had a small fraction. And, you know, I just offer that as a possible suggestion.
Interesting, Chuck. Interesting idea. Senator French, if you don't mind, we got to take a break here. Chuck, we're going to get Senator French's answer to that question on the other side. This is the Aaron Selbig Show on a Friday afternoon. Short break here. We'll be right back. Just a couple of minutes left on today's exciting edition of the Aaron Selbig Show. Senator Hollis French sitting with us in the studio. Phone lines, ladies and gentlemen, sadly are closed. Senator French, on the previous side of that break, Chuck called in and has an idea about student rankings. If you put out official student rankings in classes, turn that information over not only to colleges but to employers, that might be a good incentive.
That's right. We do the same thing through a GPA. Any student can tell an employer what his or her GPA was, and it's a way to convey where you fell in sort of the mix of the students. You know, it's interesting that we do the same thing with lawyers. When you pass the bar exam, you either pass or you fail. And you know, someone who's looking to hire a lawyer doesn't know whether that person, you know, got an A double plus or whether you got a C minus. Mm-hmm. It's always struck me that it would be nice to, if you actually knew what score a lawyer got on his or her bar exam when you're going to hire somebody. One of the ideas we've been looking at for schools, though, getting back to schools, is raising the mandatory age of attendance from 16 to 18 to try to keep kids in school. It goes back to the idea that the high school graduation diploma has become sort of like the basic ticket for doing anything in life. We've got to get more kids graduated. One of the things you do is you don't let them off the hook. A kid can drop out of school now at 16 and never look back. And it just strikes a lot of us as being too permissive. It sort of harkens back to the family farm era when you had to let kids go to work on the farm. That's past, and keeping folks in school now has become far more important.
Senator French, good to see you. I know we didn't get a chance to talk about the plans for
the
Judiciary
Committee. Time.
We'll have an opportunity, hopefully, to do that
it's
in the near future.
It's always a pleasure, Aaron, to see you and talk to your listeners. Thanks for having me on your show.
Have a good weekend. Democracy Now! Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, sponsored locally by the Law Office of Dennis Maloney. JR and I will be back on Monday at 4 o'clock, and so should you.